word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
Let's imagine for a moment that you're going to be going into an area where there is no congregation of the Lord's church. And it's going to be your job to start a new work there and get it going, teaching people about Jesus, teaching people about the gospel, and encouraging them to grow in their faith. And let's suppose as you embark on this new adventure, the Lord makes an offer to you. He says, I will allow you to select one character from the Bible to come back and go with you, to help you in that work. Now, who would you pick? Who would be the person that you would want to go with you? Or let's pose another situation here. Let's say that the Lord is going to send you to an existing congregation, and he wants you to go and build this church up, to get things going there in a better way so that the church can grow. And he makes you the same offer. He says, and when you go to do this, I'm going to let you take one Bible character with you to help you in that work. Now, who do you want to take? Now, there are lots of options here. Maybe you would want someone who's a dynamic leader like Moses or the Apostle Paul. And there's no doubt whatsoever they would be well suited for a work like this. Maybe you would want a person who is an example of faith, like Abraham. Maybe you would want a talented preacher, like Isaiah, or a devoted follower, like Daniel. Maybe you would want the dynamic preaching of someone like Peter, or the great heart of love of someone like John. The possibilities would be endless, and really, you couldn't go wrong with any of those choices. But for me, the one person that I would want to take with me for a work like that would be Barnabas. Barnabas. His name may not be the most well-known in Scripture, but there's no doubt about the quality of this man. He had the kind of heart that is ideal to be able to reach out to those who do not know the Lord and lead them to the Lord. He also had the kind of heart that could reach out to those who do know the Lord and encourage them to love the Lord more, to grow in their faith. He had that kind of heart that could pick someone up when they're just about at their breaking point, when they're just about to give up, and give them the encouragement that they needed to get going on their way again. Barnabas was the kind of Christian gentleman that others wanted to be around. He was the kind of Christian leader that the church needed then and the church still needs today. He was a man well worth following because he was a devoted follower himself. He wasn't a perfect man. Our Lord Jesus has been the only perfect man who's ever lived, but he was a man who possessed characteristics that made him a good example to other Christians. I want to be a Christian gentleman, and just like Barnabas. Now, the reality is that the scenario I posed at the beginning of this lesson isn't going to happen. It's imaginary. But we don't really have to resurrect Barnabas to have the same effect today. All we really have to do is bring back to life the spirit and the attitude of this Christian gentleman, and then we can see the same effect today. So that's what we're going to strive for in this lesson. We want to learn everything we can learn from the life of Barnabas so that we can apply it to our own lives and be that kind of example to others. Over in Acts chapter 11, the Bible tells us of an interesting situation that called for Barnabas's attention. There was a brand new congregation in the city of Antioch, and this congregation was a little bit different from the other congregations that existed at that time. You have to keep in mind that we're still in the beginning stages of Christianity and the spreading of the gospel, and up to this point, the gospel primarily had gone to people who were of Jewish descent and background. Cornelius was the first Gentile to be converted to Christianity. We read about that in Acts chapter 10 when Peter was sent to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And then you come into chapter 11 and you read about the first congregation of the church that was primarily made up of people of Gentile descent and background. When the church at Jerusalem heard about this new church in Antioch with all of these Gentiles, they realized that there was a need to send a seasoned Christian who could go and see what was happening there and be an encouragement to this new congregation full of new Christians. And when they looked around, there was Peter, there was James, there was John, there were all of these apostles and great pillars in the church. But really, for a job like this, there was only one man that really would fit the bill, and that was Barnabas. You know, his name is not really Barnabas. His real name was Joseph. Barnabas was a nickname that was given to him because he was such a great encourager of Christians. I tell you, of all of the things you can be known for in the church, I can't think of anything better than being an encourager. So the church sent Barnabas to be an encourager to this new church in Antioch. Acts 11, 22 through 24 says, "The news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." Clearly, one of the reasons that the church selected Barnabas for this job is that the Bible says he was a good man. Verse 24 says, he was a good man, he was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was full of faith. Now, all of these are reasons why he was the man for the job. And if we're trying to learn all that there is to learn about Barnabas, we really need to understand what these descriptions are saying about him. What does the Bible mean when it says that Barnabas was a good man? Well, for one thing, it's telling us he was a man of honesty and integrity. Barnabas was the kind of man that you could trust what he was saying to you. He would never deliberately say one thing to you when he knew something else to be true. He was the kind of man that you could trust, that he would do you good and not harm in any situation. If you gave him a responsibility, he would not take advantage of it. He would not misuse any opportunity that you gave to him. Another example of this is seen in Acts 11:30, and the situation was that some of the churches had raised some money to be taken to Judea. There was a famine there, and there were many poor saints there, and they needed help. And when they needed someone that they could trust to carry this money down to Judea, guess who they trusted? They trusted Barnabas and Saul. They knew that they would not misuse this opportunity. You know, that you contrast that with someone like Judas. Judas was trusted with the money of the apostles, and he was misusing it. He was using it for his own selfish purpose, and his greed is why he betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He had this outward persona of being this faithful follower of the Lord, but inside, something very different was happening. But when the Bible describes someone like Barnabas, describes him as a good man. And as a good man, Barnabas, as much as any human can, was working to let his life be directed by the Lord. Psalm 37:23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When I listen to that verse and I hear about the steps of a man and being ordered by someone else, I can't help but think of soldiers marching in formation. I think about their drill sergeant. When he says left, they step with their left foot. When he says right, they step with their right foot. And they all step together in unison because they're all listening for the command of their superior. Now, this verse says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And now, no one's perfect. We're not saying that Barnabas was a perfect man, nor that we should expect that we ourselves are going to be perfect men, but we can be good people. And if we want to be good people, it means that we must be humble to surrender ourselves to the order of the Lord. Now, the blessing of this, as Psalm 37:23 indicates, is that a good man's life brings delight to God. Now, that makes me think about Noah. In the days of Noah, the world had become very wicked, and God looked at the world, and he was grieved by what he saw. It was heartbreaking to see the world dominated by people that were turning away from him. But he looked upon Noah, and the Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God smiled on the life of Noah. He was pleased by what he saw this man doing in his family. And, you know, you think about what God sees when he looks at the world today. And I'm sure today he sees a lot that gives him grief just like he did then. But what concerns me most is, what does he see when he looks down upon my life, when he looks into my home? Does he see something that disappoints him, or does he see something that delights him? And the reward, I may never be rich, I may never be powerful, I may never be popular, but the reward of living a good life is knowing that your life brings delight to the Lord. You can't put a price tag on that. Barnabas, as much as he could, was living that life. He was described by the Bible as a good man. Friends, God is looking for good men and women. So just like Barnabas, we want to be full of virtue. Now, the next thing that's said of Barnabas is that he was full of the Holy Spirit. There's a connection between these first two points. If you're going to be full of virtue and be a good person, then it is, there's a prerequisite to that, and that is that you have to be full of the Holy Spirit. You can't be good without being full of the Holy Spirit. So here is another phrase that we want to understand. What does it mean that Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit? Well, basically, what we're saying is he was full of God's Word. The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And so the Word is the means through which the Spirit operates in our lives and works today. So the greater the love and the admiration for the Word of God in our lives, the more there will be love and admiration for the Holy Spirit and for God Himself. The more our lives are led by the Word of God, the more our lives will be led by the Holy Spirit. And the more our mind is filled with the Word of God, the more our minds will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be filled with the Spirit." What's interesting about that verse is the way it's worded in the original language, it paints a picture that this is something we do. We are the ones who fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. How in the world can we do that? And the answer lies in a parallel passage, which is Colossians 3:16. The reason I say it's a parallel passage is both of these verses finish in talking about the importance of singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, or singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And so you see a connection between the two. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, be filled with the word of Christ. These are not two different things. They are just a different explanation of the same thing, both giving us a better understanding. If we want to be filled with the Spirit, then we need to be filled with the word of Christ. If your steps are going to be ordered by the Lord, we need to be listening for his orders, don't we? That's how we become a good person, is by allowing our steps to be ordered by the Lord. And if we open our hearts to the word of God, then we'll be hearing his orders. We'll know through the word of God what his will is for our lives. Barnabas was a walking Bible. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Generally, we understand that there are 66 books in the Bible. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. But in reality, there is a 67th book of the Bible, a 28th letter in the New Testament. And that's our lives. For those of us who are Christians, we are walking Bibles. And for many of the people that we know, we are the only Bible that they will ever read. And so we want to make sure that our lives, as much as we can, are reflecting the right message. We want to be the kind of Bible student that someone could put their hands on us in a court case as a witness, just the same as they would put their hands on the Bible and promise to tell the truth. That's when we can be sure that we are full of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that Bible study is a challenge. Some books are difficult to understand. The Bible speaks of things that happened a long time ago, and there's a great deal there to learn, more than we could ever learn in a lifetime completely. But don't be so intimidated to think that you have to learn everything there is to learn about the Bible all in one sitting. That's not the way it works. It's a lifetime process. And it's something that we come back to day after day after day. That's why the Bible tells us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, think about how we satisfy our hunger and thirst. If you thought about your lifetime and all of the food that you will ever need over your whole lifetime in order to sustain yourself, and you tried to consume that all at once, you couldn't do it. If you thought about your need for thirst, and how much water it's going to take to satisfy that thirst over an entire lifetime, and you tried to consume it all at once, it wouldn't do any good, would it? That's something that you have to come back to daily and satisfy it in a process. And the same is true with our knowledge of God's Word. It's a lifetime process. We need to make sure we stay with that process. That's how our lives will be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's an old Eastern parable that's titled "That Wealth is Nearer to You Than You Think." It tells the story of a rich merchant who took a journey to a distant land, and as the businessman traveled, he met a stranger who wanted to travel with him. Although the merchant was glad to have a companion, there was something suspicious about this traveler. He was afraid that the stranger would try to steal his treasure that he had brought with him along for the journey. So each night when it was time to bathe, he allowed the stranger to go first so that he could hide his jewels while the stranger was bathing. And the businessman found one of the best hiding places imaginable. He hid it right underneath the stranger's pillow. So when the merchant would take his bath, the stranger would come in. He would look everywhere throughout the merchant's baggage, trying to find his treasure. He never could find it. The stranger knew that the merchant had this bag of jewels, but he just never could find it. And eventually the day came for the merchant to part company with the stranger, and before the two parted, the businessman revealed that all along the treasure had been hidden right underneath his pillow. And the moral of the story is that often enough in life, the treasure that we're looking for is closer than we think, but we're just not looking in the right place. So many people are looking for happiness in this life, and it's right underneath their pillow. It's right there on the shelf, maybe in their home. It's right there on their cell phone or their computer. We have access to the Bible in so many different ways today. Unfortunately, sometimes we just don't realize the treasure that the Word of God is. Barnabas was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, but also the Bible says that he was full of faith. Full of faith. He had faith in God. Barnabas demonstrated his ability to keep the faith even when he was facing painful, difficult circumstances in life. Paul and Barnabas were persecuted in many places during their missionary journeys that they made. But whenever they were persecuted, they would shake the dust off of their feet, and they would move on somewhere else. They were not going to give up on the work that God had given them to do. And I realize that today, I may be speaking to many who are going through some difficult circumstances, and you're just about to the brink of wanting to give up, and I want to encourage you that now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to draw ever closer to the Lord. Now is the moment when you will find out just how strong your faith really is, and how much you need the Lord. Barnabas was that kind of man that when life was painful or difficult, he drew ever closer to the Lord. But I think to really appreciate the life of Barnabas, you need to understand, too, the faith that he had in other people. To me, that's really what defines the person that he was. He was the kind of person that would believe in someone that no one else would believe in. He would believe in someone even when they didn't believe in themselves. He would believe in someone that maybe hadn't given others a reason to believe in them. But Barnabas demonstrated that on many occasions. For example, the Apostle Paul starts out in the Bible as a persecutor of the church, an enemy of Christ. But he was met by the Lord in a vision on the road to Damascus. And from that point onward, his life changed. He was truly converted to the Lord and went on to be a great champion for the cause of Christ. All that happened when he was on his way to Damascus. He spent quite a bit of time in Damascus after that. Eventually, he came back to Jerusalem. When he did, the church there was reluctant to receive him. They didn't trust him. They thought maybe he would come back to do harm. Many of them may have had family members who'd been killed or imprisoned by Paul. Some of them might have been compelled to blaspheme because of Paul, and they had no intention of ever accepting him into the church. But the Bible says in Acts 9:27 that Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas alone opened the door to Saul, not Peter, not anyone else. Barnabas was the one willing to stick his neck out and possibly jeopardize his own impeccable reputation, all for this newcomer, Paul. Barnabas also did this again with John Mark. John Mark went with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, but he deserted them in the middle of that journey. And later, when they were set to embark on their second missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. Paul did not. And the debate between them became so sharp that they just could not agree. And they ended up parting ways because of this. As far as I know, they never really worked together again after that. But Barnabas took John Mark and he went to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and he went on his second missionary journey through Asia. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark a second chance. Barnabas believed that John Mark could be a faithful servant if he was given another opportunity. And he stuck his neck out again in order to give that John Mark that opportunity. And I'll tell you, he did the right thing. This paid off because John Mark went on to do some great things for the Lord. He wrote one of the books of the New Testament, the book of Mark, one of the biographies of Jesus. And even Paul, later on in his life, in some of the letters that he wrote, remarks of what a valuable servant and helper John Mark was to him. So even Paul changed his mind about John Mark later. And it was all because of Barnabas, this encourager who believed in someone that no one else wanted to believe in. So, we have to look at ourselves and we think, what kind of person am I? Am I the kind of person that's easy to give up on somebody? Or am I the kind of person that will fight to believe in somebody? Now, I'll tell you, I think this is what makes Barnabas a true reflection of the life and the attitude of Jesus Christ. Maybe even more so than any of the apostles. Because Jesus did this. Jesus had this way about him of believing in people, even when they didn't believe in themselves or even when others did not believe in them. Barnabas took that to heart. He was a true team player. And he was full of virtue, a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was full of faith. A man of courage. I really can only find one time when Barnabas seems to have been lacking in courage. In Galatians 2, 11 through 13, there was a situation in Antioch where Peter and some other Christians showed prejudice toward the Gentiles. The Bible says that Barnabas got caught up in that. Sometimes the courage you have is to stand up to those who are closest to you. Back then, the church needed Barnabas to be an encourager, to build others up and bring others to the Lord. But you know what? The church still needs Christian gentlemen like Barnabas. So let's all resolve here and now to follow in the good example of this Christian. Let us strive to be good men. Let us strive to be full of the Holy Spirit. And let us strive to be full of faith, faith in God and faith in each other.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.